Bibles, please, to Ezekiel chapter 47 for our second reading, second to last chapter in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Eglaim, and they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof, and the marishes thereof, shall not be healed, they shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Thus saith the Lord God, this shall be the border whereby ye shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have 2 portions, and ye shall inherit it, one as well as the other, concerning the which I lifted up mine hand to give it unto your fathers. And this land shall fall to you for an inheritance. And this shall be the border of the land toward the north side from the great sea, the way of Helton, as men go to Zedad, Hamath, Berothoth, Sibraim, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, Hazar Hatikon, which is by the coast of Haran. And the border from the sea shall be Hazar Enan, the border of Damascus, and the northward, and the north northward, and the border of Hamath. And this is the north side. And the east side ye shall measure from Haran, and from Damascus, and from Gilead, and from the land of Israel by Jordan, from the border unto the east sea. And this is the east side. And the south side southward from Tamar, even unto the waters of strife in Kadesh, to the river to the great sea. And this is the south side southward. The west side also shall be the great sea from the border till a man come over against Hamath. This is the west side. So shall ye divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you and to the strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you. And they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance among with you among the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, there shall ye give him his inheritance, saith the Lord God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So the chapter is divided into three sections, I think. The first section is the flowing of the river. The second section is the efficacy of the river. And then the third section is the division of the land. Okay? So in the first section, the flowing of the river. Now, I hope you noticed this when we were reading, but I think many of you have spent some time at rivers and so on. And so you will understand this, that at the river's source, it is often very strong. And then it'll flow out, especially if it's flowing into a desert land without much tributary input. It will sort of peter out. You know, it'll become less and less and less until the waters don't reach that far anymore, except in maybe good years. I had the opportunity once to hike to the top of the San Gabriel River in the San Gabriel Mountains in Southern California, and I was able to see where the San Gabriel River simply came out of the mountain. It's, where it started. And as it flowed down, well, it had some tributary input, and so there were places where it started out very strong, but unless there were rains and other things, the riverbed was mostly dry most of the year. Okay, so what happens here? It's just the opposite. It goes out from the throne, and right outside the first 1,000 cubits, it's what? Well, it's to the ankles. But this is a river that gets deeper as it goes, showing that it's not really a river at all. It's speaking of the sending forth of the Spirit of God and the progress of the gospel throughout the New Testament age until it becomes a river that no man can pass over. Remember what the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 44. He said, I will pour waters on him that is thirsty and streams in the desert, and I will pour out my Spirit upon you and your seed. Right? And so this is what Ezekiel is speaking of here in Ezekiel chapter 47. I will also remind you in this next portion, when we see the efficacy of the river, that it's full of fish, that men are fishing in it. Yeah, that's right. All these metaphors are good in the New Testament. And then what? In chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, this river is seen as flowing out from the throne of God, right? And there are trees on every side, and the trees are bringing forth their fruit in its season, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. Okay, so John, in the book of Revelation chapter 22, is drawing heavily upon Ezekiel chapter 47. So this is the beginning of the gospel in Jesus Christ when this water flows out. And at first, what does it look like? You know, it's a trickle. You can walk through it. It gets your ankles wet. A little bit later on, what happens? It's up to the knees. A little bit later on, it's up to the loins. And past that, it's over your head. Yeah, you can't swim across it anymore. That kind of might, that kind of power, that kind of flow to the grace of God as it manifests across the entirety of the earth. And what'll it do? It'll flow into the great sea. And what happens when it flows into the great sea? Did you hear? This river, when it hits the great sea, it'll purify the waters of the great sea. And what is the great sea? It's nothing other. When we see it over and again in Scripture, the sea is the sea of the Gentiles. They are that roiling and mysterious mass that goes to and fro over the whole earth. But when that water reaches the Gentiles, what happens to that sea? The water's made sweet. It's no longer salt water. However, there are small pockets of apostasy that remain. There are these what are called the sloughs and the marishes. For marishes, that's just an old word for marsh. Okay, so there are places where the water is not flowing. It has stagnated, right? And when it is stagnated, it becomes, it says that they shall be given to salt. Verse 11, but the miry places thereof and the marishes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And so we can expect that in the going forth, there will be apostates among the people of God. This is in every prediction of Scripture. This ought not to surprise us here either. It's not given in such ideal terms as to not speak of those difficulties that will persist with the church until the end of days. Okay, so we have the fishers going in to fish out of that stream. It's going to have lots of fish in it. Okay, so what's happening? The ministers of the gospel, the fishers of men, they are going forth and they're catching fish out of the river. That's how it has been designed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus chose fishermen and he said, you will catch men. And then beyond that, notice we come to the third section and we have the writing out of the border of the land. Now this is given in terms that are understandable to the people of God of that day. But what's interesting about it is that it's as big as Solomon's territory and beyond. Because it goes to the, quote-unquote, Great Sea of the East. Now think of that. What is beyond Jordan? Well, the first thing you hit is the river Tigris, right? Beyond that, the river Euphrates, right? Now, some scholars have said those two rivers together make up the Great Sea of the East and that the border is going that far. Well, if it went that far and that was all that was being said by Ezekiel, that would have been remarkable when the people of God heard it. That no longer will they be under threat from Babylon, no longer under threat from the Medes and Persians. Rather, the kingdom of God will extend all the way out there instead. It'll go that far. But what if it's something other than that? What if the Eastern Sea, the Great Sea of the East, means all the way on the other side of the world? And it could mean that, although that would be largely unknown to the people of that day. Still, the purview of what is being talked about here, as far as the north and the south and the east and the west are concerned, is that this kingdom that is being spoken of here is a kingdom of great expansion, with the river going out into the sea and sweetening the sea and curing it of its saltiness and unusableness. It sure sounds to me like it's possible that this is simply a metaphor given in terms where the people of God would have understood what? That our inheritance is secure, that it would be indeed an inheritance larger than they could have imagined in the first place. And then finally, the only other thing that I want to mention as we close this up is that there will be Gentiles in this kingdom. And notice there will be a difference from before. Gentiles could sojourn among the people. They could become proselytes even. So there were two classes of Gentiles that were among the people of God in the days of the Old Testament. The first class would be those that were like the day laborers, the hirelings. And they would work for Jewish families in one capacity or another, and they would be paid for that at the end of the day, right? That's why we will hear from Moses, when you have somebody working for you, you pay him at the end of every day. You don't hold that overnight. Okay? There were other Gentiles who actually took the covenant, right? Became circumcised. And with regard to the religious ceremonies of Israel, were as one born in the land. They could participate in the Passover. They could participate in the Feast of Booths and the Feast of Weeks. They would be in the synagogues with the people of God in their local districts. But there was something that they couldn't do. What was that? They could not inherit a piece of land in Israel. Did you hear what it said here, though? They will inherit. In this kingdom, they will inherit. In fact, they will be inheritors alongside their Jewish brethren in such a way that when they come in, whatever tribe they land in, they will have inheritance there with the people of God. This is obviously an allusion to the New Testament church, where Jews and Gentiles worship alongside of one another as equal parts in the church, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, barbarian, Scythian, it doesn't matter. All are one in Christ Jesus. And that's what's being advertised prophetically here at the end of Ezekiel 47. With that then, let's stand and continue.